I want to say that this gospel, I want to remind you, a working title of the message is that the Lord looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. You know, how many of us know how we've depended on God's mercy, his understanding, his compassion, his long-suffering quality for us, that he didn't lower the boom too soon, amen? And that's kind of a background, and so the message, the title would be that he looked beyond my fault, he saw my need. And he's asking us to let that sink in a little so that we can do it for others. Because there's an awful lot of folks that have harmed us and hurt us, even as we've sinned against God. We certainly sinned against others, but others have sinned against us. And the Lord wants to give us a new heart and a new mind about that today. I also want to remind you by way of background what I taught you last week. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great moral treatise of the Lord. It's his great sermon on the moral life. And he's going through, and he's not so much giving us more rules to follow, more prescriptions, but rather than prescribing so much, he's describing. He's explaining what does the transformed human person look like? What do they act like? What are they like? What happens to a human being when the Lord Jesus Christ begins to live his life in them? You heard today that you are a temple of God, that the Lord Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, lives in you. And church, if you will allow it, that changes us. It's supposed to. The normal Christian life the Lord is describing here in the Sermon on the Mount. We saw last week that a normal Christian life, a transformed human person, is someone who has authority over their anger, someone who begins to take authority over their thought life and their sexuality, someone who becomes more generous and giving, someone who speaks the truth in love. We saw that last week. Today, the Lord teaches us that the transformed human person becomes increasingly free of resentments, the need to retaliate, the need to hate and exclude. The transformed human being learns to love even their enemy. Now that's hard, but I'm going to tell you the Lord can do that for you. He's not telling you that you, out of your own flesh power, have to pull this off. He is saying, you come to me, and you let me begin to go to work in your life, and you're going to start loving people that you never thought you could. You're going to start seeing greater patience, kindness. You'll be less resentful about what people say or don't say and how they treat you. You won't be so obsessed about that stuff. You will be free of all the death by a thousand cuts stuff that happens to you. Are you praying with me? And so the Lord is then giving us a teaching here which challenges our thinking. Not a wisdom of this world at all. In this world, if you attack me, I attack you back. I use my power to suppress yours. It's a battle of wills. It's tit for tat. You say this, I say that. That's the way of the world. And the world says if you don't do that, they'll walk all over you. And the Lord is really saying today, well, who cares? Who are they? I'm the God who loves you. Why do you worry what people call you? Why do you worry what they say about you? I've said you're mine. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've called you, and you're mine. And now you're all worked up about what someone said or didn't say, whether they honored you or didn't honor you. Why do you get worked up about that? You let me go to start to live my life in you. Your life isn't going to be based on an awful lot of the things that it is now. You're not going to be obsessed with what other people think, or what they say or don't say, what they've done or haven't done. You're going to know that heaven is yours. You don't need to worry about whether someone borrowed your thing without asking. Are you praying with me? Or someone sat in your church pew? Pardon me, this is where I always sit, you know? So let's start looking at the details of this gospel with all that in mind. Remember, the Lord is not saying you better. He's not wagging his finger. He's saying, let me go to work, and your life is going to be different. So he begins. He says, You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's right. You hit me, I hit you back. Now, by the way, this is an Old Testament rule called the Lex Talionis. Basically, it was not designed to permit retaliation so much as to limit it. Because you see, the tendency is, if you harm one of my things, I'll destroy you. I'll kill you. And the Old Testament said, in effect, look, the punishment ought to fit the crime. It's eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. So don't, if you do retaliate, make sure that the punishment fits the crime. And that of itself is a worthy thing that we should do. There are times where punishment does need to be meted out. Sometimes by the government, sometimes by a parent toward a child. There is a place for punishment. And it makes sense that we should not use a cannon to kill a flea. Amen? So of itself, there's nothing wrong with this law. The Lord is not saying, well, this is a bad thing. He says, you've heard that it was said, you should an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But he says, listen, but I say this to you. Don't even offer resistance to someone who's evil. Now, that's shocking. Is he saying, Father, that if someone is rushing at me with a gun, loaded gun, and they're going to get ready to shoot me, I should just say, oh, here I am. See? Now, we're going to see here, and I'm going to try to show you, that the Lord isn't so much talking about physical violence. He's talking really about matters of what we might call our dignity. Somebody say dignity. My dignity. Because the Lord is going to give four examples of what he means. He's not saying you should not defend your life. He's not saying that you should never speak out when there is severe injustice that is not just harming you, but harming other people. Otherwise, how would we have a civil rights movement? How would we have a criminal justice system? No, there are times where we have every obligation to protect ourselves from unjust aggressors, from those who are trying to physically harm us or to commit grave acts of injustice. So I want you to be careful. You see, what happens sometimes is that people read a line from the Bible and they pull it out of the context. And a text taken out of context is a pretext. There's a context in which the Lord is speaking. So when he says, I'm telling you, offer no resistance to injury. And then he says, let me give you four examples of what I'm talking about. And all of these examples are not matters of life and death. They're not matters of being physically attacked. They're matters, what we might call those daily matters that we get all worked up about if we're not careful. About my dignity, my time, and my things, and my stuff. And the Lord is saying, look, pay attention. So he gives us then four examples where he says we need to put down our loaded weapons for a minute. We need to stop lying in ambush. We need to lighten up a little bit. Here he goes. So the first thing he says is, when he says offer no resistance to injury, he says this: if someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn and offer him the other as well. Now you said, but Father, you just said this wasn't about physical attack. And that's a physical attack. Well, yes. But honestly, church, come on, stay with me. If someone strikes you on your cheek, you're not fearing for your life. That's not what it's about. If someone smacks you on the cheek, it's an indignity, isn't it? You know, someone can punch you on the arm, but to be struck on the face is a matter that someone has attacked your human dignity. And the Lord says, look, if someone attacks your dignity, and he uses the image of being struck on the cheek, but there's any number of ways someone can attack your dignity. Aren't you praying with me? They call you a name, diss you, or ignore you, or roll their eyes. There's all kinds of ways, right? And the Lord says, look at you getting all worked up about your dignity. Now listen, if someone strikes you that way, or someone does that, turn the offer the other cheek. It's kind of an interesting image because you're struck with their right hand and on the cheek, and then you turn the other cheek, and you're going to get struck with the back of their hand. That's an even greater indignity. Now, by the way, Father Robert Barron has a very good, I think, appreciation of this. The Lord is talking about something of a middle ground. He's not saying run away if somebody strikes you. Run away. Oh, I'm scared and run away. He's not saying that. The Lord is also not saying strike back. He's saying stand your ground and look at that person in the eye and say, I understand you're upset about something, but I am not going to enter into your world of retaliation and of hatred. I am not running away from you. I am not afraid of you. You cannot rob me of my dignity. You cannot scare me. But I will not retaliate, because I will not enter your world of hate and spite and of attacking. I won't go there. And so there's a kind of a middle ground there. And the Lord says, stand there. Don't run from evil, but don't do evil to fight evil. Stand, look it in the eye, and say, I'm not afraid of you, and I will not adopt your tactics. So you see, it's a strength, isn't it? It's not a weakness that the Lord is saying here. Now, but remember, this is mainly a question of dignity. Someone attacks your dignity. They call you a name, you call them a name back, it escalates. And before long, you're striking blows, you know, and it all starts to escalate. And the Lord says, why are you so worked up about what somebody said to you? I, from the cross, said, I love you. I said from the cross, I forgive you. I've told you that you're mine. I died for you, calling out your name. And then someone cuts you off in traffic or says something about you at work and you're all bent out of shape for a week. I am God and I have said I love you. Why are you so worked up about what somebody else thinks? The next example the Lord gives when he says, don't go on, you know, going toe-to-toe with somebody because they've attacked your dignity. He also goes on to say here, the next example he gives is, if somebody wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your coat as well. In other words, my stuff. Why are you using my stuff? Why are you sitting in my pew? Why are you... whatever. We get all worked up about our stuff. My things. My... listen. See, why do we do that? You know, the Lord has given us so much. Why can't we be a little more generous? And if somebody has a disagreement with us over something, take it, it's yours, I don't care. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time to fight for legitimate and lawful property rights, and the Lord is clear about that elsewhere as well. This is not a question of huge, you know, like, I should just open up my store and let the thieves come in and take anything they want. No, no, if you're gonna run a store, I think you should have a little security. That's all right. We don't wanna help other people steal because then they end up going to hell, amen? So there's a place to legitimately keep watch. You should have a few locks on your doors and you ought to protect your things. But what the Lord here is again talking about is getting all worked up that someone borrowed something or someone took this, and it's a minor thing. And the Lord says, would you please lighten up a little bit? I've given you so much already. Maybe they needed it more than you did. You know, would you learn to be a little bit more generous? And part of it, I'm gonna importune you a little bit at the end of Mass and say, would you be willing to part with a little bit of that extra money you got? You know, if I have two coats, one of them belongs to the poor. You know, at the end of the day, we get so possessive and worked up about our things. And the Lord is saying, look, when I start to live my life in you, you're going to appreciate the things you have, but you're not going to be obsessed about them and overly attached to them. Who put the remote here? I always want the remote over here. Why did you put the remote over? I told you before, this is my TV and I want the... We do that stuff. All the venom about my stuff, my things. And so the Lord says, lighten up a little, lighten up a little. Then he goes on to say here, look, should someone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now this is a very irritating practice that the Jewish people hated. Any Roman soldier could come up to any Jewish man and say, I want you to carry this backpack of mine, or I want you to carry something for me. I'm tired and I'm the Roman soldier and I'm in charge and you are under our authority, and I tell you, carry this load for a mile. Now the law said that he could ask you to carry it for a mile, but not for 2 miles. No longer than a mile could a Roman soldier inconvenience a Jewish man and make him do something, only for a mile. And so the Lord says, look, he just uses this as an example. People come to you and they want a minute of your time. We get all worked up. You're bothering me. You're interrupting me. See? And we're not very generous with our time, and we can become very stingy about it. Now look, that doesn't mean every telemarketer that calls you, you should say, hello, yes, whatever. But again, the Lord is asking us in our relationships, are we too stingy with our time? Are we too unwilling to be interrupted? When you're walking the streets, and I know you can't give money to every homeless person, but if someone would like a moment of your time, maybe to ask you for something, I can't give you any money, but look that man, look that woman in the eye and see a brother or a sister and just spend a moment with them. We can't always do it. But why are we so stingy and worked up and frightful and fearsome when somebody said, could I ask you a favor? I'm going to ask for 5 minutes from you today. Don't leave. Just 5 minutes to spend with me in the Cardinals appeal today. See? I'm asking a little bit of time and a little bit of money. I'm doing both. Isn't that awful? Sometimes a family member needs a little bit of time. They need someone to listen. No, not him again. Not her again. One of those nuts falling out of the family tree and can't. Oh no, the caller ID lights up and you say, See? And so again, the Lord is saying, look, if someone presses you into service for a mile, be generous. Go with them for 2 miles. Now, I know we don't have unlimited resources, and the Lord knows that too. He's giving us a principle, though, that we should be a little less stingy about our things, a little less stingy about our dignity and uptight about that stuff, and a little bit less stingy about our time. So much venom happens because of those things, because we are stingy. And again, the Lord is saying, when I start to live my life in you, you're going to be more generous with your time. You're going to be happy to talk to people because you love them and you care about them and you're glad to hear from them. And likewise, you're going to be less uptight about your things because you're going to know I've given you so many things and you're going to be generous. You're going to be less worked up about your dignity because you already know I love you. You don't need other people's approval. And then the final thing, the final example he gives in this first section is, if somebody wants to ask you to borrow something, just give it to them. Now again, you say, well, but father, not that daughter of mine who, you're not saying I'm supposed to, I'm not telling you to do anything. But the Lord is telling you that sometimes, again, we're too stingy when people need help. And we start clutching and closing our pocketbooks and won't give them our time, won't give them what they need. And part of the reason for that is because sometimes it isn't good to help everybody all the time. Sometimes we do need to set limits. But more often than not, I'm going to say a lot of it has to do with my stuff, my money, my time. No! And the Lord says, when I start to live my life in you, that attitude's going to go away. You're going to be more generous. And if somebody needs a little something from you, sure, take it. Not all the time. There need to be limits in the human family. Amen, I got that. But there's also a need for generosity, for less obsession about time, money, things, and my personal dignity. The Lord says, look, all this retaliation, getting back, being stingy, withdrawing, all that's got to go. Now, you are not going to accomplish this by your flesh power. Oh, no, it'll last 20 minutes max. And then someone cuts you off in traffic, and you're back into the soup. Amen? I got it? So the Lord is saying, you let me go to work in your life, and you're going to start to see these things come alive. You're going to be more generous with your time and your money. You'll be less obsessed about your stuff, and you'll be less obsessed about what people say or don't say, whether they honor you or don't honor you. That's not going to matter so much anymore. You got the vision, church? Now then the Lord goes on to say something really difficult, even more difficult. He says, you've heard the commandment. You shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But I'm going to tell you this. I want you to love your enemy. I want you to love your enemy. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. And he says, look, I'm God. And when I start to live my life in you, you're going to start to notice that I send rain on the just and the unjust, that I take care of even the worst sinners, starting with you, that when you were at your worst, I never gave up on you. I still kept calling. I sustained you with life. I kept your heart beating. When you were at your worst, I could have thunderstruck you with lightning and slain you on the spot, but I didn't do that. Believe it or not, I actually love and am rooting for the people who have harmed you. I want them to turn to me, and I want them to repent. But I'm rooting for them, and I'm asking you to love them, and I'm asking you to be as patient with them as I have been with you. Now the Lord says, it's not you, it's going to be me living my life in you. And you'll start to see that go to work, and you'll be amazed. So that even people who have troubled you, you begin to have a strange affection for them. Suddenly you begin to have a little more compassion. Suddenly you begin to understand that maybe their anger and their rage and some of the stuff they're doing shows a deep inner struggle. And you're not approving of it, and we shouldn't approve of it, but we start to have some understanding and some compassion and some kindness for the fact that most people who are engaged in bad behavior have some very deep inner struggles that are at the root of that, just like we do. And the Lord begins to change just ever so subtly. We start to have a little more patience, a little more compassion, a little more kindness. And the Lord says then to us, he says, look, if they don't end up repenting, they're gonna answer to me one day for what they've done. Don't you worry about that. That's between me and them. I got your back. If they sin against you and they refuse to repent, they're gonna answer to me one day. Now, is that enough for you? No! I woke a few people up, I'm sorry. I want to retaliate. And the Lord says, look, do you understand something? I'm going to take care of everything. Nothing will be done in the darkness that will not be brought to the light. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And where people have been hateful to you and hurtful and harmful, they're going to answer to me for it. Now, could you please, in the meantime, let me continue to give them some grace so that maybe they'll repent? Could you be a little less interventionist, a little less hostile, a little less nasty? Would you be able to take a few hits for my sake so that I can kind of work on their life and get them on the straight and the narrow like I did for you? Could you do that with me, says the Lord? Could you please let me go to work in their life like I'm working in yours? We're so impatient. We want everyone to be finished now. So, brethren, I'm just going to say that doesn't mean there's not a time for crime and punishment. In other words, that we need a police force and there are things that need to be dealt with now. But the Lord is saying, as a general rule, could you please lighten up a little and not use a cannon to kill a flea? Could you please let me live my life in you? And to the degree that I do that, you're going to be so much less uptight about so many things. Who did what to you and why and how you're going to get back at them and how dare you ask for my money or my time or anything about me? How dare you harm my dignity? How dare you? On and on we'll go. We're all worked up. It's like carrying bowling balls around all day long. You know, last year I lost about 70 pounds. You know, that is, my knees are thanking me every day. You know, that's like 5 bowling balls, you know, that I'm not carrying anymore. And the Lord is giving us that image morally here. Do you know how heavy the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that we carry around is? How heavy that is? And oh, the Lord says, let me go to work and give you a lighter heart. Be more lighthearted. You have more energy for other things, carrying all that stuff. And so you see the vision. So I want to just leave you with this beautiful Sermon on the Mount that we're going through with this idea that, remember, the Lord is describing the transformed human person. He's giving us a picture today, not just a bunch of rules. You out of your flesh power, better do this or else. It'll last 20 minutes and you're back in the soup. The Lord is saying, let me work this in your life. And you're going to be so much more lighthearted, so much more joyful. I know, says the Lord, I hear you talking to me right now, but if I forgive or I don't retaliate, then it'll get worse for me. And the Lord says, no, it won't. But even if it does, you'll be more lighthearted anyway. You'll be able to take it. You won't have to get so worked up about stuff because your whole point of existence isn't here in front of you in this world. It's the things waiting for you with me in heaven. You won't be obsessed anymore. Trust me, says the Lord. Ask this of me. Ask me. for the gift to love your enemy. Ask me for the gift to be less obsessed and worked up about all the little things in life. Ask me, trust me, and ask me for it. And I can do this for you, says the Lord. Church, I'm a witness. A lot of stuff I used to get worked up about. Nah. I'm not saying I'm done yet. You know that. I'm just going to say, and I've learned to love people I didn't think I could love, to let go of some of the hurts of the past that I didn't think I could let go of. I'm not saying I did it. I'm not boasting. I'm just boasting in Jesus. He does that, and I'm a witness, and I pray you are too. The Lord looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Oh, he's been so good to me, so patient, so merciful, so kind. How can I not, when it begins to sink in on me, when I start to remember, when I go to the foot of the cross and I have it present in my mind and my heart, what God has done for me, I'm grateful and I'm different. Because he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And it's finally dawned on me that I can do that for others by his power. Amen.